Hello, friends. Welcome to The Resonance Test. I'm your host, Allison Coton, an interaction designer at EPAM Continuum. A great promise, but perhaps also one of the greatest challenges of our modern world, is the genesis and evolution of systems, areas of knowledge, processes, even identities that actively resist easy categorization. Traditional hierarchies and divisions within businesses are disrupted with every new startup created by a few friends in a garage. Old-school relationships between businesses and their customers, based on power and scarcity, are shifting in favor of comparison shopping, informed consent, and user-centered experience design. At the forefront of innovation, you'll always find the leaders looking to break barriers and collaborate towards capabilities and offerings that no one's thought of yet. Data and analytics present a particularly interesting case for those in the insurance world. Harini Wilkinson, SVP and Head of Data and Analytics for Protector Plans, and Surat Chhabra, Director of Insurance Data and Analytics Consulting, unpack it all with Lynn Rivenberg, our VP of Business Consulting. As they'll explain, it's clear that for insurance companies, new and deeper data analytics will inevitably power the winner's growth. Companies that can understand and predict customer and market behavior can move faster, offer services that support and delight their customers, and better prepare for and mitigate risk. To gather data, to align across inputs and formats, to analyze and all the other actions that support proactive decision-making means collaboration. Data-related activities, once confined to IT and technical functions, have community-wide implications and dependencies. Partners, even customers themselves, must be cajoled or compelled to share their information, and that requires new reciprocal benefits. As Rivenberg, Chhabra, and Wilkinson explain, it will take a village to make analytics-driven insurance happen. Let's hear how it's done.
Harini and Surat, thanks for being here with me today, talking about this really important subject matter around data and analytics. I wanted to open up just talking about what we're seeing in the industry and give an industry perspective. We know that carriers are feeling the financial pressures of the market, and that's not just reflected in their business models or their operations today, but we're starting to see that reflected actually in their results to the street. Personally, you know, part of what we're doing in our advisory practice, we're being asked to come in and talk to clients about how to optimize the business to move faster given these economic realities. And we're seeing that even the MGAs, MGUs, and the carriers themselves are being forced to become much more adaptive enterprises. So, Harini, I thought I'd open up with a question to you. Do you think we're at a tipping point, and will we see anything that would be indicative of a move forward in terms of investment and where you're seeing that happen either in your organization or just in the market in general?
Hi, thanks, Len. So to your point, I think the insurance industry as a whole really has not been as adaptive as they should have been in terms of being able to look at data, to utilize data and analytics to grow the business, to be able to drive their business forward. I think a lot of other industries do a better job of that. And we really need to just catch up to the other industries that are doing this. I will say that I think the pandemic has really escalated this. And I see post-pandemic that more and more insurance companies are putting more money and investments into data analytics strategies in the roadmap to really use this to move forward. I think insurance as a whole, we've been talking about doing it for so long, but the pandemic just really escalated the need to do that as opposed to something that we should do down the line. It's really just table stakes for us to be able to have this in the industry, both in the industry and outside the industry.
Right. Yeah, I think the pandemic, I think, has really changed a lot of the model, what we're seeing, how they have operated potentially in the past, how they continue to operate, and really how that's going to shift in the future. When we I think that what I'd like to do is shift over to Surat. And, you know, we see clients asking about the op model and talking about being more insight driven. And, you know, there's a need to meet your clients where they want to be met, but we also know, you know, what your clients do. So, Surat, I guess part of the question I have for you is, in your role as leading data and analytics for insurance, how are you seeing this manifest? Do clients know how to get where they need to be? Are clients asking the right questions? And what are those questions? What should they be asking?
Sure. Well, insurance is a business that heavily relies on data, And we're seeing that data and analytics and becoming an insights-driven organization has been one of the top three priorities for our clients. And to be honest, when it comes to asking the right question, it really depends on what stage of maturity they are in and where exactly they see themselves in the part of this whole journey. I'll just break down the whole journey of becoming a data analytics-driven organization in a couple of stages, right? The first stage really relies on, you know, collection of the data, which sort of involves, you know, various sources of data, be it, you know, customer data, transactional data, operational data. And data can come from many sources, right? Nowadays, like we have wearables, sensors, you know, various types of databases, social media, online platforms, etc. So really the collection of the data is where it all gets started. The next stage is, you know, some sort of a preparation of that data, which involves like some level of cleaning, transformations, standardizing it against a data model. This is the stage which is like the most time consuming stage where, you know, you have to go through aligning the data, filling the data if there's any missing information, standardizing to a standardized data model, etc. And the third stage is around building the data products, right, for data analysis. And this particular stage involves a little bit of a more advanced like analytical techniques, such as, you know, statistical analysis or machine learnings and those type of technologies. And the last and final stage is really around the interpretation part of it, where, you know, the consumption of the data comes in place, which involves like generating insights which can be used to make decisions. It could be in terms of, you know, the dashboards and BI reportings and things like that. So our clients are really at several like different maturities, and depending on what stage they are figuring out what is the best in class technology for them. And how do they really get to the next stage of maturity?
Harina, I'd love to like pivot off that and just ask you a question around your own organization and what you've seen again in the industry. Where do you think clients struggle the most with this from a carrier and MGA perspective?
Thanks, Len. I think Surat hit the nail on the head in terms of every organization's at a different level in a different spot. In my current organization, we're at the beginning. We've never really used data to drive our business forward in the past. Our data's all over. It's in various systems, whether they're internal or external with our carrier partners. We have access to some of it and we don't have access to others. And I think for us, it's really understanding what the data is that we need and how do we get a hold of it? And then looking at it to see if that data is quality data. In addition, within our organization, we have several programs and products that make up our organization. So really aligning on, once we get the data, really aligning on standard naming conventions, standard lists of fields and values, and overall just standardizing the data across the board to be able to have a one view of our organization, just to be able to make it consistent. So I think the struggle for us is at the beginning, right? As we get the basics down, I think then we can start to use the data to drive our business forward. So whether it's on the initial submission and triaging and being able to eliminate the submissions that aren't in our appetite, or prioritizing the submissions that we have and the likelihood to win, just making it more efficient for our underwriters to do their jobs. As we go a little deeper, then we can start to look at the predictive models and using third-party data to really enhance a lot of this. But I think for us, it's really just at the beginning stages of really understanding what data is there and how do we structure it in a way that we can use it.
And I don't think you have a unique challenge or proposition there by any means. I think, Surat, you're working with clients globally. What are you finding to be their biggest challenges and the hardest problems for them to solve?
Mm-hmm. Yep, thanks, Lynn. I completely agree with what Harini said. Some of the points she touched are around the data governance side of it being like breaking the silos and lack of ownerships. Data governance is where I've seen clients, really trying to figure out how to apply it in the right way, because it requires a certain level of ownership, right? It requires clearly well-rounded roles and responsibilities. It does require business and technologies, you know, joining hands together. Breaking the silos is definitely another thing, because insurance data sets like across many departments, line of businesses, you name it, and just defining a single source of truth is pretty complex task as well. In data governance, what I've also seen is for smaller organization, Lynn, is sometimes they have, it's not one of their priority. They don't have investment to to really, you know, think about having a data governance function stood up. And it does require a little bit of an investment. So that's one area. The other area that I feel clients struggling a little bit is around the data literacy part of it, right? They have staff and employees who are probably not yet familiar with the concept of data analysis or interpretations and things like that. So it does require a little bit of education and training and the whole sort of, you know, cultural mindset shift in some cases, and a huge buy-in from the leadership to drive some of these changes.
Harina, I mean, I think Surat brings up a great point just around the funding and the support internally. I mean, from an advocacy perspective, how are you going about that? I guess that might be something for people to be thinking about. What's the best approach to that? And how important are those things that she just mentioned?
Yeah, so it kind of hits home. And I think the biggest piece of where data kind of lives in our current environment is it didn't exist before. There weren't data teams that existed before. It was heavily driven by IT. And now more and more people are starting to invest in data teams, data organizations to have specific people tailored towards the specific function. And I think it all comes down to the leadership, right? So having leadership believe in a data organization or a data function and being able to drive that forward is really key. And I think, again, leadership being able to communicate that within the internal teammates that potentially in the past have not had a data team or in the past are not used to having or knowing what a data team does. So I think in the end, having a specific function, having a specific group dedicated to just this, I think is key, and having the leadership kind of push that forward.
Surat, are you seeing organizations align around that? Just curious what you're seeing again in the market today.
It's a mix of, you know, different colors in the bag, Lynn. You know, we do see some of the clients really ahead of the curve, really seriously invested in it. And those are the ones who actually have a right platform and infrastructure in place. So I always like go back to the journey, right? It's kind of a journey. If you have like, and it's kind of a sequential journey in some cases, you have to have a right infrastructure and platform in order to get to the next level and to the next level. We also have clients who have the best in class platforms and you name it, but really the adoption is not there. And for them, the reasons are, like I said, like Harini also touched base on the governance and the accountability and the leadership buy-in is lacking. So it's really a very colorful picture that we are seeing at the moment in the market.
I was going to say that, you know, our industry is global, right? We cross many, many, many geographies. And I think some of the other things that I'm seeing really have to do with clients is around sort of this M&A activity as well. So there's a lot of mergers and acquisitions or potential happening. And obviously, the two of you know this, and I really want to talk about this a little because I think it's one of those sort of elephants in the room, right? When you're doing that with the not necessarily a greenfield, but potentially with a, you know, legacy partner out there, you get all that technical debt that comes along with it. And how do you think about that? You guys just touched on one nuance of this. Now think about bringing other organizations into an existing organization with that legacy, those legacy platforms, that technical debt. And how do you think about that, Harini? What are going to be some of the challenges with a situation like that for some of the carriers that are out there?
This isn't a new issue that insurance companies are facing. I've been at two other carriers prior to my current role, and it's the same. How do you, as you acquire new, as you discontinue companies, how do you kind of look at the technology and seeing how that fits into your current stack? I think that the idea is really having a strategy for your current products and programs and embedding the new acquisitions that come on board into that strategy, whether it's a strategy on what tools you're going to be using, how you're going to manage the data, but really having something in place so that as you acquire and new, you can build onto that.
Hey, Surat, do you want to add any thoughts to that? Because I think, again, I know you probably run into this every day. How are you talking to clients about this particular issue?
Yeah, M&A is definitely sophisticated problem to handle, and especially, you know, technical debt and legacy systems do present a significant amount of challenges, especially for the organization who are trying to become or modernize their data platform capabilities as well. I guess first thing is really to prioritize the legacy and understand what data is sitting in those systems, what is the quality of the data, and what is going to be the impact on the existing businesses when they bring that data. So really just syncing up the existing strategy, like what Sharini said, as well as understanding the legacy that they want to bring in is the first step. And the second one that we touched earlier is if the organizations do have these governance and management practices in place, that kind of offers them certain level of standards when it comes to data quality, when it comes to metadata management, lineage, and things like that. It kind of helps them to then blend the technical pieces or the M&A side of applications into their existing landscape of technology, and elevates from a data accuracy and consistency perspective. It kind of brings it a little bit more seamlessness in terms of transferring the data from old to the new platforms.
Harini, I wanted to pivot from there and just ask you, a very pointed question. What, people in roles, like the role that you have today, what should they be doing proactively to address some of the concerns and some of the things we've talked about?
Yeah. So I think communication is probably the biggest thing, right? You have a lot of leaders kind of running their own business units, their own functions, and really being on the same page as others in terms of what your company or what your group's goals are, and aligned on how we're going to get there. It's easy to kind of really get sidetracked in your day-to-day and focus on the things that matter to you without really seeing the big picture of what the group is trying to accomplish. And so I think just communication between leaders, and making sure that all the leaders are understanding of your function and your role, and how that really plays with what they're trying to accomplish. I think that's a huge step. Like I said, it goes back to leadership and making sure that the team is aware of those goals, but really having the other leaders in the organization kind of on board with your strategy and really helping each other out to making sure that that happens.
Great. And Sarah, I kind of turn it over to you. I think more from how do you measure success? And when we're talking about some of this, what's the measurement of success? What are those KPIs that you think are going to be critical to this?
Yeah, I do agree with Harini in terms of, starting from a right business goal in mind. Like before you are investing in the data analytics, it's important to have a clear vision, the business problem that you're trying to solve, because then that business problem actually helps you to kind of guide your investment and measure your KPIs in terms of, are you making, heading in the right direction or not? Another thing that I think is important is around focusing on the advanced analytics and not just the basic reportings and descriptive analytics. That's another key KPI in my mind, is like how much of an advanced analytics are these organizations using? Are they really using the data to generate insights, or they are using it just to make sure that it's clean and it makes sense? So that's another advanced KPI. And then a lot of the KPIs are from a business perspective, Lynn, if we are talking from an insurance standpoint, right, from an underwriting and claims perspective, right? Are we generating segmentations in claims? Are we having some fraud analytics put in place? So I'm seeing a shift of these KPIs getting towards more of measuring their optimization, measuring their productivity gains, their operational cost sort of reductions and things like that. And industry is now taking it a bit more seriously than, 4 or 5 years back. And they are setting up standards to start measuring these KPIs as well.
And Sarah, I think it's just something you just said resonated, right? Carriers are taking this very seriously now. Or the ones that we're working closely with are taking it very seriously because they recognize that they need to be insight driven in order to impact their results on the market. So Harini, I'm going to pose a question to you and Sarah, I guess, at this point. We've talked a lot about what you have to do. We've talked a lot about why it's important and how you go around that. But there are probably some people out there, maybe skeptics, who don't want to do the investment and they think they're going to be able to ride this out for the next 5 years. What we're seeing is this sort of sudden surge and call to action. And I'd love to get your perspective, both of you, in terms of if you don't do anything, where will you be 5 years from now? Harini?
Yeah, so that's a great comment. I mean, I really do think that the companies that are not even starting to look at some investments in data and analytics and even tools related to data analytics will be left behind. They'll be pretty stagnant in terms of their growth, not being able to be as efficient as they want to be, and really just not making the right strides to help them grow. I think utilizing technology, utilizing the data to help us get those insights really is going to push us forward in the next couple of years, and those companies will be left behind.
Sarah, I'd love to get your perspective as well.
Yeah, totally agree with Harini's comments. Just to add, you know, the whole customer satisfaction index is going to be a bit of a problem, you know, given it's all now orienting around, you know, the data analytics. Their inability to sort of, you know, innovate is going to kind of, you know, just put them behind the competition clearly. Last but not the least, it's around the risk part of it, right? Given you see the frauds, the cyber attacks and other areas that are being emerging, not making the right investment right now, it's going to just, you know, put them at a risk exposure area as well, in my opinion.
Thank you both. I think, you know, those are really great perspectives. I think our clients need to be thinking like that. But I think what I heard from both of you is that you really shouldn't wait, that the time to do something is really now, and there is a call to action. So appreciate your perspectives and really enjoyed the conversation today.
This has been The Resonance Test, a podcast from EPAM Continuum. EPAM Continuum integrates business experience and technology consulting focused on accelerating breakthrough ideas into meaningful impact. Why do we do this? Because real opportunities aren't siloed. Thanks to Lynn Rivenberg, Harini Wilkinson, and Surat Chhabra for the great conversation. Cheers to Kip Halalis, our sound engineer extraordinaire, for getting this podcast recorded. Applause to Ken Gordon, our producer, for all the masterminding behind the scenes. I'm your host, Allison Coton, and I'm off to phone a friend.